comic creators, artists, writers, world builders, this is your call to action. Here at Talking Comics, we love diving into the stories behind the story. Whether you're just starting out or you've been in the game for years, we want to hear your journey, your creative process, and what fuels your imagination. So, ready to talk comics with us? Message us or hit the link in our bio and be a guest on Talking Comics.
Welcome to Talking Comics. We got Raw with us this week. He's got some comics that he's put on Kickstarter and some awesome artwork. But before we dive into all that, tell us a little bit about yourself.
What's up? I'm Raw. I make comics. I've wanted to make comics since forever, I guess. And it's just one of those things where life kept getting in the way, but it was always in my brain, like, one day I'm going to do this. And it was weird. I've had a weird life, man. I was like a blogger for a while. And companies, this was like before the word influencer was a thing.
Right.
So like companies would fly me to like do weird stuff, go to concerts and like test drive cars before they came out in America. And like I got to go to New York Comic Con free every year and like interview people. It was cool. This was like before the Avengers made nerd culture like a thing. Like this was when nerd culture was still pretty under the radar, I guess.
Right.
And one thing like really hit me one year when I was at New York Comic Con, it was like cool, but it sucked. Somebody was like, so my site, it was like a geek lifestyle site. We would feature anything from the latest movie trailers to interviews to like fan art. And somebody was like, hey, you posted my art on your site. And like that kickstarted my whole career. Like I got commission jobs after that. I got real jobs after that. And like, thank you so much. And I was just like, man, I've like spent years just kind of like lifting all these other people up. But my site was like my life. And I was like, I could be a better artist. I could be a better storyteller. Like I have stories that I want to get out. Like I want people to find me. And it kind of be really discouraged. So I was like, man, that's cool for him, but it sucks for me kind of. Cause like as
right.
Well, my site was kind of like a thing-ish. I wasn't. I like I wrote under an alias. My face wasn't super in it. And I had a team of other guys writing for me. So just one of those things where I was like, I think I just want to do my thing. And then eventually the whole internet got too big. People stopped reading blogs. And then I got a real job in marketing. And then that just led to a whole different path. And now I'm in it. Now I'm doing the comic thing. It was COVID. COVID, I guess, is what solidified it. It was a friend I met through my website hired me to help him on pitch decks for like animated series. So my job would be to like read a script and then come up with those little bite-sized paragraphs that describe like every character in the world and then the story as a whole so that if he was meeting with Warner Brothers or Netflix or whatever, that was the PowerPoint presentation they were showing and reading whatever. And then that led to him hiring me to make a pilot episode script, which I did not think I was qualified to do, but he did for whatever reason. And he loved it. I thought he was going to have all these notes and like it was going to suck. I was like, I wrote, but just for me, I've never wrote and put stuff out there. And he was like, dude, I've known you forever. I know you write. Like, I know your taste. I know you can do this. And then that's really what like was that first push I needed to just try it. And so my uncle, he convinced me. He's like, let's do a comic together. He draws. And so we did this little one-shot comic. And I took the character from that one shot comic and I submitted it to a writing contest, not trying to win. I just wanted feedback because you could pay, you'd pay to enter, you could pay extra to have them review your script. So I was like, I'm going to pay ahead of time. So I have to finish it because I suck at finishing things. And so that was it. I was like, if I'm going to pay all this, it was like $200 or something. So I was like, I'll know. I have to finish it because I just paid $200 or whatever for this thing. And
now,
I
were
won.
You submitting just a script or?
It was just a script. No, art. No finished art. And no, it was the art? Worst script. No art. It was an awful script. Like,
and you won.
I won. And then that like was another big, like, okay, I don't suck as bad as I think I do with this whole thing. But I think, I don't know. You can, this is like one small morsel of the books I have, and most of them are on like writing or making comics. So I think I just gave myself this extensive crash course that I hadn't put to use. And then winning that contest, that's when I was like, okay, now I want to draw some stuff. So I spent like 2 years just writing a bunch of scripts that I never put out. Some I did, and just drawing a bunch of things that nobody's ever seen, just trying to get better. And now I'm releasing my first ever series, Tag and Quest.
So this is the first one you're releasing.
Yeah, I've done like short mini comics, like little 8-page things. I've been published in some small anthologies.
I read a couple of the small ones you sent me.
Yeah.
And then I read the first, I guess, the intro to Tag and Twist, right?
Yeah, it's like a little teaser. Yeah.
Teaser. Yeah, it was definitely a teaser. I needed more. You try to make me go buy it.
Yes. Yes, it's working.
Right? It's work. Exactly. I had that same feeling the other day because I'm writing my own comic for the kind of interviewing everybody similar, you know, to you. It's inspired me to write my own.
Good.
I've never been a writer. I've never liked writing. I'm okay at like graphic design, not an artist. So I hired an artist. I'm a math guy. I'm not a, you know, I'm not an art, like a writer. So I wrote my first script, you know, and I gave it to, you know, my daughter and my wife and let them read it. And I ran and hid and, you know, they liked it. I was like, okay. And I, you know, found an artist, somebody that I interviewed, you know, that we hit it off and sent it to him. And he's like, I like it. I'm like, okay, maybe this is cool. And that, now I'm getting pages back. Gotten like seven or eight pages back, and it's amazing to look at.
It's like real now. You're like, oh, this thing in my brain is real.
But I made a little teaser similar to what you're saying. Basically, I took the first 4 pages and just put it out there to, like, if you sign up, you can get it for free. And I sent it to my daughter and a couple other people just to read the first 4 pages, see what they thought. And my daughter came running in my office and she's like, where's the rest of it? I'm like, well, you've read the whole script. She's like, I don't care. I want the rest of this.
That's awesome. That's what you
and
want.
And this other person read it, a friend of mine who doesn't read comics at all. And she was like, this is really good. I'm like, okay, cool. Because she's a teacher, so she ought to know if something's good, I would hope. So,
yeah.
But that's been very inspiring. And like yourself,
that's awesome, man. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because, I don't know, we soaked it in for so long. It's like easier to vomit it back out in our own way. I don't know.
And we're always our own worst critic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
So like we always, you know, I say that goes for everybody. Like I write all this scripts and it's like, do they good or are they bad? I don't know. Well, you know, throw it out there. Like you entered the contest. I didn't even know there was script contest.
Yeah.
I might put mine in a contest. We'll see.
Highly recommend. Just to highly do recommend it. Doing it. Yeah.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, so you've got the marketing down. Like you, that's your gig, right?
Yeah, that's what I did for a long time. I was in marketing. It's funny, it happened to me twice. I got hired as a temp. I was just supposed to work for 2 months for this company that made like the gymnastics leotards for like Team USA and all that. And my job was to wear this weird out of date computer program that we had to design like all the jewels that are on the front. And you had to do that for every size garment and make it look consistent for the team because like a size large doesn't have the same amount of jewels as a small or extra small. Or
right.
So I did that. And then they found out about my website and that I did video, and I was doing freelance video for some local businesses at the time. And they were like, you should do video for us. And then that turned into like, you should work in the marketing department. And then that turned into like, you should run our social media. Then I left. I wound up moving. I met my current fiance there, and that was in Pennsylvania. We moved to Indianapolis, same kind of deal. She got a job at a leotard company that was more like ballet, and they needed somebody to work a temp job just to help make a catalog. And I applied, I got the job, and they were like, oh, you used to work for one of our competitors. You did their media and marketing. You should do that for us. So I got hired there. And then that company actually closed. Not my fault, but they closed.
Hold on. This might be one of those things we were talking about. We want to cut. I'm in marketing and the company closed. We need some explanation.
It was it was it had a lot to do with the totally separate thing that was going on before us, some shady stuff going on, and they got caught. Whole thing got closed, but so then that was like right before COVID, and then I got hired. I've always wanted to be a creative director, and every company I was at, they don't want to give you that role because it means they have to pay you more. So they'll just make up some bull crap like, we're not going to call you the creative director, but we'll call you the creative strategist or the media person. Blah, these like dumb titles that aren't anything. So I finally got hired by this place that would call me their creative director, and that was cool. And then my fiance got headhunted by another company in another state. And I was like, I just got my like dream title. Like, I'm a creative director now. And she was like, well, you know what? Like, you've always wanted to make comics. You always talk about it. Like, maybe this is just your sign to go for it. Like, I think you're going to. So she's really supportive, and I would not be able to do it. I totally wouldn't without her.
Moved again. Yeah. From Indianapolis. Okay.
Yeah. Now I'm right outside Columbus, which is a crazy comic scene. I don't know if you know this, but
really?
Like,
I did not know this.
I've never lived anywhere where like, you could just spit and hit somebody who makes comics. I live in a really small neighborhood called Pickerington, and there's like 6 or 7 guys who make comics out here. Some are published. Very cool. I've been published at like Dark Horse and Image. Some are just indie guys that make little zines, but we'll meet up at a coffee shop down the street from my house, like anywhere between 4 to 8 people. And we'll just take over this little coffee shop, just drawing comics. Yeah. Really big scene out here. Jeff Smith, who did Bone, he lives out here.
Heard that name. Yeah.
Bones, like a big, that's kind of what put comics on the map for like all ages stuff, like in book fairs, like for schools, Scholastic book fair type stuff. And there's a big 4-day or 5-day free convention out here called Cartoon Crossroads, CXC, Columbus Cartoon Crossroads. It just ended a few weeks ago, and like Jonan Vasquez.
Of course.
Jonan Vasquez was there, did like Invader Zim. John and the Homicidal Maniac. Last year, Brian Lee O'Malley was the guest of honor. Scott Pilgrim guy. So it's a weirdly cool place to be if you make comics.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I will. I definitely need to crash that coffee house one day.
Oh my god, it's funny because like people will see us and they'll just be like, "What do you guys like?" We get in the weirdest conversations. We were always like, "What do you guys do? Are you guys like in a band or something?" And we're clearly drawing. Like,
right.
No. we draw comics. Like one guy got commissioned on the spot to design a tattoo for somebody. Like she just paid him right there. Cool. Like some of us will bring our books because we know the conversation is going to happen, and sometimes we'll sell them to people right on the spot. Like it's weird. It's so weird.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be coming through Ohio in a few months, so I'm gonna have to
hit me up.
Hit you up. And well, what, you know, do you do other small conventions around, or? Do you do any conventions? Are you going to do conventions?
I just started doing conventions like maybe 2 years ago. And it's all like smaller ones around here. CXC is the big one that I do. But that one's more like indie, like very indie focused, small press stuff. I get the sense, I don't know for sure, I just kind of get the sense that like superhero-y stuff's a bit like poo-pooed on there. I don't know. Right. I can't verify that, but that's kind of the vibe I get. And then there's like some small zine fests I've done. I've done some of the bigger cons out here, but it was like when I didn't have anything to sell. Like I had one comic and like maybe 3 prints to sell. So I didn't do too good at those, but I've learned some things. So now, I think next year I'm going to start doing some bigger cons out here.
That's something that I'm going to start doing next, you know, early next year. So my comic will be out. No later than May. May's our like end goal. I think it'll be out probably in March. Okay. But I want to go to these conventions like as the podcast, right? As Talking Comics Podcast. The comic book is, you know, inspired from the podcast, like using our mascot, you know, Panel Pete's our mascot. You know, he's a comic bubble, you know, word bubble.
I love it. Okay. And,
you know, so he's like the mascot of the podcast, so he's the star of course the comic book, right? So you know, I love doing conventions. I used to do gaming conventions, like board game card game conventions years ago, and I used to set up booths and sell merch and all that, and getting back into that scene I'm super excited about. But it was weird because it's like, how do you sell something as a podcast, right?
Like, yeah,
I have to be okay with just, it's advertising, it's marketing, right? It's just showing what's out there, what I do. Because a lot of what I do is this, and this is what I love. I love doing the show with my daughter. We just go over our weekly polls and, you know, have fun and play some silly games. And it's great for her and I. That's how we started. And then I got asked to do interviews and I started doing those. And now I love them. I love doing these interviews. Like, it's so fun meeting all these people, talking to them, hearing their stories here in the background. And it's, you know, we're growing a little bit. You know, we're still very small, but it's like, this is what I kind of want to be known for, is just what I'm giving. What can I give back to the community and help the community and give indie people the voice? Right. Yeah.
And people flock to that stuff.
Right. So I just have to be okay that conventions are a marketing expense, but now I'll have a comic to sell to kind of offset it. But that's not like the main driving force. Right. So that's kind of the way I look at it, but I'm definitely down to go to some of these conventions, definitely go into a coffee shop and hanging out with a bunch of artists and indie people. That'd be fun just to chat.
It's fun.
And get them on the podcast.
Oh, for sure. They would totally be down. And I think like, I have two of the guys have a comic podcast. I feel like somebody else in the group has a not comic podcast, though. Everybody does a lot of things. It's pretty cool. Very diverse group.
So go into the marketing for your comic. What have you done for it?
Nothing.
Nothing. You're a marketer. Come on.
I know. So it's funny. I'm good at it for other people and I'm bad at it for me because it's like putting myself out there, I guess.
Well, hold on. Okay. So you have a Kickstarter. I clicked the link, you know, 30 minutes ago or an hour ago, and you're 4 days in and you've met your goal. You're over your goal, which is amazing. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, people would kill for that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you've got to give up something.
I know it's weird because I like on the back end of Kickstarter, you can see who's backing it.
Right.
And I'm like, these are just all my friends. Thanks. so it's like there's a few people like names come up and I'm like, I have no clue who that is. How'd you find out about me? That's cool. But for the most part, and I've heard this story a lot from other people who've had successful Kickstarters in comics anyway, that like a lot of it is like friend and family support, at least for your first few issues, I guess. So it looks like cool and glossy from the outside, but really I'm just begging my friends for money.
Hey, and they're being supportive. And if that's the truth behind it, then that's, you know, that's awesome, right? Yeah. Like that's, people need to know that. And you know, and, like, and I don't have high hopes for my Kickstarter. Like I think it'll be a lot of people that I've interviewed will back it. I really do. I think people, you know, obviously, like, I don't hope my artist don't back it. Like, you know, he's already going to get free copies. But, you know, but people like that and the people that he shares it with, like maybe his, you know, fans, right? Because he's already published some comics on his own. And that'd be cool. The other cool part about my comic is it's like I call it like an homage to the indie publishers. So there's scenes. Well, not obviously, but in my comic, part of it is set inside a comic shop. Okay. So Panel Pete, like the main premise is Panel Pete lives inside a comic. He can like come alive from the comic book, right? So some of the scenes in the comic shop, instead of just having generic covers on the wall, I'm actually, people that I've interviewed, like yourself and others, we're putting out, with their permission, putting the covers of their book on the shelf inside of my comic book.
I love that. That's awesome. That's so good.
So if you're interested, we might be able to work yours in.
Yes, let's go. I'm down.
All right, cool. I have video proof. So I'll add it in the email when I follow up with you too in a few days. But
nice. Okay.
I just think it's a cool way to kind of give back to the community.
Yeah.
In a way. Yeah. You know, to showcase all these people that I'm interviewing even more, and because we are just one community all here for each other, right? So
yeah, it's smaller than you realize. Like one, now that I'm like closer in it than I was a few years ago, you realize how small it really, really, really is. It's pretty crazy.
We are beyond excited to share the Chronicles of Panel Pete, a brand new comic coming in early 2026. Written by Talking Comics podcast host AJ Ryman and co-written and illustrated by Mike L. Jewett, Torque Arts Comics. Panel P is a heartfelt comic about courage, imagination, and the hero within. Sure, he may stir up a little mischief, but at the end of the day, he's the hero we all need. Expect variant covers, exclusive merch, and much more. Follow the links in our bio, hit that notify me on launch on Kickstarter, and join us on this adventure.
And it's awesome to be able to like do things like this and meet people, and I love it. It's been amazing.
Yeah, man.
So are you doing this book all by yourself, like art, everything?
All of it. Graphic design, lettering, all of it.
Awesome. How long has it taken you? Like, to do a page, how long does it take you to do a page?
I'm so slow, and I do it the longest, dumbest way. So I don't draw it like the way comics are traditionally made. I'm super, like, I love comics, don't get me wrong, but ever since I was a kid, I think my first love was always, like, cartoons. And I remember the other day, this whole, like, scenario that happened. I remember I was in the kitchen really little, and I think, like, Rescue Rangers was on TV, and my mom was cooking, and I was trying to get her attention because I had a really important question. She wasn't listening to me, and I was like, Mom, I have a question. She's like, what? And I was like, what are cartoons made out of? She's like, what? I was like, what are they made out of? Because, like, there's, like, real shows like Cheers, dating myself, because that was what was on TV back then, like Cheers and Family Ties or whatever. And I was like, but then Rescue Rangers is, like, different. What is it made out of? And she was like, you don't know what they're, people draw those. And I was like, but how do they make it move? And she explained the whole thing to me, and I was like,
wow.
Wait, they have to draw, like, everything? I was like, I don't like that. That takes too long. So then I kind of got into comics, I guess. But so I like that aesthetic of, like, the cel-shaded characters and then the more painterly backgrounds, I guess. So that really slows down my process because sometimes the backgrounds take way too long for a comic, but I don't care because it looks nice.
It looks great. I mean, the few I've seen of yours, they look great.
Thank you.
It's awesome. So what is your like process? What do you like when you sit down to write? Do you have a set time? Do you have to have certain things?
Music for sure. Like I remember I didn't believe in synesthesia because I just thought it sounded so stupid, but I think I have that. Or like you can like hear music and see things along with it. And I've kind of always been like that. Like a really good song, hearing it, especially for the first time. I like all genres, but specifically like electronic music or anything instrumental. I can close my eyes and just kind of fill in the blanks. That kind of gets me going. But my process is different for every project. Like I've made, I don't even know how many like mini comics and one shots now, but everyone's a different sort of beast. I feel like I'm still figuring it out, but I also feel like I'm never going to have one process. I might just be that guy that just wings it a new way every way. Like with this, because it was longer, it's the first longer, so like full 22 page story I've done. I struggled a lot with the script. I wrote my process is I'll start with my dumb idea. I'm like, okay, what if there's a world where graffiti's magic? And then I'll just kind of write that sentence. And that's, I'll plug that in at the top of the page. And then I'll kind of do a summary. I'll be like, okay, where can this story go now? So I don't know. Let me just draw. So then I drew the picture of the three main characters. I was like, I want like this trio of like kids on an adventure. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they're about, but graffiti's magic and these kids are on an adventure. So I drew this promo picture of them that was the cover for that teaser I sent you. And
okay,
that kind of set my brain going. I was like, okay, if graffiti's magic, how can you use it? What if you're spraying on a wall and you're sealing away like some kind of dark entity back there that's like seeping out and these kids have to go touch up the fading graffiti around the world that is like keeping this magic at bay. I was like, okay, cool idea. And then I wrote the script so many times because first issues are hard, man. Like, especially when you're building this weird big world and you're kind of more raised on TV where you have more time to like fit in more story. So trying to fit it all in, like the original first issue was way different. Like way, way, way different. And so I wrote that first script and I had a bunch of friends kind of comment on it. I just sent out like a Google Doc where people could comment and I got all this feedback. And it was all good. Most of it was like confirming my own suspicions I had of like, there was one part in my head, I was like, okay, this page is going to be 5 panels. And then when I started writing the script, I was like, it doesn't need that 5th panel. And then one of the first comments I got was like, I think on this page, you should have a 5th panel that says this. And I was like, it was literally what I had and was too lazy to do for whatever reason. I was like, okay, so got me. But then even then, like the script was not working. I was just trying to do too much. So what I did was I just kind of went to a different part of the house that I don't write in. Like I went to my basement and I just turned off all the lights and just blared music. And I made like these little storyboards on one document on my iPad. And I just like freestyled the part of the story that I was stuck at. And I just kind of, it just started making itself up. It was this really organic process where things that weren't in the original script were happening, or like visual gags. Like the cat was not a big part of the story. And people I showed the teaser to were like, the cat needs to be like in this thing for the long haul. Like I love the cat. I would buy a comic of just the cat. So I found ways to incorporate him and it gave it this new life.
I was going to not mention the cat because only because my daughter would just, that would make her want that story even more. She loves cats.
Everybody loves the cat for whatever reason. I mean, it's cute. It's based on my cat, one of my cats, but she has 2 eyes, not one. The cat in the story is 1 eye. But yeah, I think that process of like drawing the story out, like rekindled that. I don't know, made me feel like a kid again. Like when I would just staple a bunch of pieces of paper together, like in grade school, and just make up my own stupid comics. So I think maybe that might be the way I do it from now on. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. Maybe that's my process. That was a long answer. I'm sorry.
Hey, that's okay. That's what we're here for. Is this going to be a standalone or is this a series?
So this is a series. First, I'm trying to think. So I haven't totally figured out, but the first 2 or 3 issues are kind of the story of the group getting together. And then it sort of opens up into a more episodic kind of vibe. Like, you know, when you turn on a cartoon show, they're just a new adventure starts and there might be an overarching sort of something, threat or something, but it's really not the main focus. It's just those little one-off stories. Because I like the idea of a kid being able to pick this book up and not have to know anything. Because a lot of comics rely so much on like, need to remember what happened.
Lore.
Yeah, the issue before or whatever. And I was even toying with the idea of making it more like if I could squeeze 1 or 2 shorter stories in an issue, or 1 longer story, 1 shorter story. Because I loved that stuff as a kid, because when you don't have like expendable cash like a grown up and you can only afford a few comics, if you're getting one that has a bit more stories, it feels like you're getting more, even though the page count's probably the same. And like, I shouldn't have been reading it at my age, but in elementary school, I got really into Johnny the Homicidal Maniac. And they're like little short 2-page, 3-page stories, but I would just read them over and over and over and over again because that's what I spent my money on that week, my allowance or whatever. And it's like, okay, I'm gonna stretch this, get my money's worth.
That's okay. I let my daughter read Harley Quinn, so it's okay.
Yeah.
And then I go back and read it, and I'm like, why did I let her read this?
But builds whatever. Character. It's fine.
It does. It's fine. She loves it, and it's what got her into reading. I mean, this started literally in December of last year. It's when our birthdays are. Our birthdays are 2 days apart. We were in a comic shop, and she picked a comic up. Well, we were in like a game store / comic shop, and she picked a comic up, and she was like, what is this? And I'm like, it's a comic book. And she's like, why is there so many of them? And why are they so small or short? And I was like, well, they just come out with like a new issue every month. You know, there's just a few pages. You read it, you know, you just keep reading. She's like, can I get a couple? I'm like, get 10. I don't care. You know?
That's
and
awesome.
She did. And she fell in love with them. So the first one, of course, she picked up was a Harley Quinn, like number like 27 or 6 or something like that. And I'm like, okay. I was like, so then it went on a mad dash for like the next 3 months. We were just looking for all the Harley Quinn we could get.
Of course.
And so she has them all now. Well, all the 2021 series. She's working on some back issues now, but she has all 2021 in the current run. But she loves them. And her reading, she reads so much, so do I now. She reads so much more now because of it. And
yeah, it's better for kids than I think people really give.
If it gets them to read, it's, you know, yeah, the subject matter of Harley Quinn's a little mature for her, but
yeah,
at the same time, she's reading, and you know, she's gonna have those questions eventually. So
yeah,
it is exactly. What it is.
Exactly.
But that's cool, man. Which character is your favorite?
So there's a dude, Two-Tone. I really like him. He's like the big guy.
In your comic?
Yeah,
I was asking about your comic. We'll get to your favorite later of all comics. We'll get to that in a few.
But yeah, Two-Tone. It's crazy. Out of all the stories I've written. I had some stuff I was going to pitch. Like I was dead set. These two other books I was going to pitch and make my first like series that I would make my mark with. And, when I pivoted to this, something about the characters like really pulled me in, and I had, they're more fleshed out than any of the other stuff I've worked on, even though this is the newest by like years. There's comics I've been working on for literally like over a decade. Have like scripts and scripts, and the characters don't feel as fleshed out as these guys. But Two-Tone, he's like the big happy dude, big brother type. I kind of modeled him after Jake the dog from Adventure Time. He's just kind of like a bro. But his whole thing is he's like a daredevil type. He loves like anything that's like risky or scary. Like he's going to be the first one to do it. He's like an adrenaline junkie. But he has an extreme phobia of like bats or like small rodents, like just anything like little with a tail and fur, like creeps him out. But his whole thing is like he's from this like smaller island village where everybody kind of reveres him as this like magical graffiti hero, except his family. Like they're all just like not impressed by anything he does. So he just has that like expectation to live up to. So I think part of that, there's a little of me in him in that regard.
Awesome. But
he's definitely my favorite.
What advice would you give somebody that's starting out today or wants to start, you know, that you wish you knew when you started?
Something everybody told me that I just ignored it. Everybody says it. It's like, if you want to make comics, just make comics. And I was just like, no, I have to wait till my art's better. I have to wait till my writing's better. But I didn't know how much better you get after just finishing one thing. Like that first script I submitted, I look at it now, I'm like, this is garbage, but I won. And right. I finished it and I learned from that experience. And then I think right after that, this was around when I just moved to Columbus. I joined, it was when I first joined this like comic community online, and they invited me to be in an anthology. And I was like, I just finished a script. I don't know if I have another one in me right now. I got nothing, but I just like made myself. I was like, okay, it's like, I'll do 4 pages of something. And I did it and I finished it. And I was like, that was easier. And then I joined another anthology thing. And this one was like 8 pages. And I was like, I'm getting faster now. Like, I'm becoming faster, radder, more adequate. You really do get a lot better than you think off of just like one project.
And finishing right? Like just finishing something goes so far.
Especially you know? With stories, it's so easy to invent this hypothetical, grandiose, like cool story, but actually like hitting all the beats you need to hit and getting it to land and be like, end in a satisfying way. And then especially trying to cram it into like 4 pages of something, like 4 pages in an anthology of a bunch of other stories. Like how are you going to pull people in that amount of time and make it cool? But you learn like little tricks. I don't know.
That's awesome, man. So that's like it, you know, your advice. But what about, what is something you didn't realize when you started that's you wish you knew?
How to make a first issue. I feel like I still don't know how to do it, even though I just did one. It's so hard.
Is it because it's a series?
I think so, like, for me.
Okay.
And so I have some other first issues for other stuff I'm working on that like came a lot easier. But for this one, I think it was because I had to introduce, okay, this first issue, the team comes together. So you want to meet the team. You have to set up the hero, his goals and motives, all that, make him like relatable. But then you have to kind of build this world out. You have to build out what's the threat, so that people are like, okay, what are they up against? And then you also have to be like, what is the thing? Like, okay, this book's thing is the graffiti magic. And how does this work? Like, what's it going to look like? So I had to do just a lot of drawing of what it was even going to look like. Like figuring out, cool, like, I don't process. Know. Yeah. But not even like a first issue, but just fitting everything down into like 22-ish type pages. A story is really hard. I think a lot of my older scripts, I had a bad habit of just filling them with way too many panels or word balloons with way too many words.
I had the opposite effect. I felt like I didn't have enough words.
Interesting.
And maybe that's because I'm not a writer, but yeah. Like it was the first thing really I've ever written. And when I wrote it out, like I wrote an outline. Like page 1 through 2, like I literally took a notebook, wrote, and I got this from a TikTok of Stephanie Phillips. She said she takes a notebook and just like puts a title, writes numbers at 1 through 20 or 1 through 24, however many pages you're going to have.
Yeah.
And then she just puts like an overarching theme or what she wants to happen on each page.
Yeah.
And then she goes in and uses that 20 or 22. That, I mean, this is what I did, you know, so I had 1 through 20. And then I just wrote my script, and it was cool because I had to like actually switch a couple around. Like this actually should happen first, you know? Mm-hmm. So 16 is now 14 and 14 is 15, you know, and stuff like that. And it worked pretty well, but I don't feel like I had enough words, which was weird. And then I give it to my artist, and he's like, he's doing the lettering too. And he'll actually add a few words here and there. And I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense. And so I didn't have to, but I did it. I gave him a co-writing credit just because, like, you're helping me flush this script out.
Yeah, you know,
so he's adding a few words here and there. It's only 1,000 times better because he's doing that and the artwork. So, because if I wrote it, it would look, you know, I don't know, not good. I say that, but it would be,
I don't know what I tried that like bullet point method or whatever. So there's a book, Words for Pictures by Brian Michael Bendis. It's about writing comedy. He interviews a lot of writers on their process, and forget who it is in that, but he said that's how he wrote. It was Matt Fraction, I think. I guess that's how he wrote the Hawkeye run he did.
Okay.
And he explained he just like got a lined piece of paper and wrote all the things. I tried that, but I don't know what my stupid dumb brain does, but I go like way too high level. I almost have to like work out all the like big high level kinks to figure out what I want that one sentence to be. Cause I can't just pull that one sentence out because I don't know what it is yet. But when I started drawing and just kind of having fun with it and sort of letting go of the script, that kind of nailed it all down. Like as I'm drawing, I was like, okay, this one thing, this is what happens. I don't know what it is. It's like, I've always had this, the analytical and creative part of my brain, and they're always fighting.
Right.
So I think the creative part kind of won on my process a little bit.
I did, you know, I did sketch some ideas of covers on a piece of paper, and I did do one cover for the book. He's doing cover A, I'm doing cover B. I'm thinking about doing one more cover. Myself, but then I got a couple other people doing other, you know, alternate covers, variant covers. That's cool too, just seeing all the different ideas. Like I got an idea based off of a page he sent me today. this morning and I was like, that needs to be a cover. Like that scene needs to be a part of a incorporated into a cover. And it also, it was really cool today. We got into this whole conversation based on what was happening in the book of the origin of Panel Pete. And like, I've already had the idea of doing a second book, but it'd be like an origin story.
Yeah.
And it really made me think about it and flush some of that out because we had to make a couple of decisions today on this pan, like on this one page. We were actually, he was working on a two page splash page, right? I'm like, yeah, it doesn't need to be that because if he really came from this, that wouldn't make sense in this book. Like if you read that later, and like now I'm like, oh God. Like, so now I feel your pain a little bit. I mean, this is just very small, right now, but I'm like, I think the decision to do this now would not be good later. So let's try this. And he's like, oh, that's a good point. And so then I had to give him my whole idea for my origin story so he could be like on the same page as he's going. So it was really cool to have that dialogue today.
I love that collaborative part of it all.
Been amazing. Collaboration has been amazing. I mean, I've truly hit the lottery, basically, you know, won the lottery with the artist I'm working with. So it's been great.
Love that. It's very cool.
Do you have any collaboration stories or, you know, you mentioned your uncle earlier about doing a comic together.
Yeah. So,
also the coffee shop, you know, do you guys collab on anything? Just for ideas or
really, sometimes. So we put out a small anthology together of just like past work. I think some guys made some new stuff for it. So it's this group, we call ourselves Six Ronin. Cause at first there were six of us. Now there's way more than six of us. Awesome. But that was our first, like, we put out this Six Ronin anthology thing. And we are going to try and put out another one next year, which is the theme being Ronin. Anything samurai Ronin related, whatever. But everybody just kind of does their own thing and is like, here's my stuff, I'm done. And we see it when it's done or when we're working on it there. Usually we'll help each other. Like, hey, I'm stuck on this pose. Or, like, this page layout, like, what? Why does it look stupid? Help me, and we'll all kind of look awesome. At it and be like, oh, you should move this panel here and it'll flow better, like that kind of stuff. But with my uncle, it was pretty cool. So, man, it's crazy how old I am now. So I'm and how long it took me to make comics. So when I was in my 20s, I'm in my 40s now. When I was in my 20s,
About the same age then.
Oh, really? I'm 41 now.
Okay, so I'll be 44 in like 2 months. So
okay, time, man.
Time. Yeah, it's crazy.
But yeah, so I got into this site. I used to like be on DeviantArt all the time, and an artist I like posted a lot of stuff with this online community called EnterVoid.com, and it is the coolest thing. It is so cool, and nobody talks about it. It makes me mad. It's like Art Fight, which is like a big thing with the kids these days, Art Fight. But Enter Void is a comic book battle online community. You come up with a character, you come up with an origin story, like a 3 or 4 page origin of your character. You have to make a turnaround sheet, at least just showing the front and back, because other people are going to have to draw your character. Anybody can challenge you to like a battle of your character versus theirs. And then you can say, okay, we'll agree. We'll each do 4 pages or 5 pages. We'll give ourselves a deadline of like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month, whatever. And then we'll say, are we going to be in color, not in color? And you announce the fight on the site. And then you have a deadline and you have to get your pages in by the deadline. And then when the fight goes live, the community votes on it and critiques it. And like people give like pro level critique feedbacks, like, your lettering balloons are too wonky. Here's a link to a guide on how to letter better. Your perspective is weird on this.
So it's
page.
Good feedback.
Like, really, really good. So like,
it's good not only, feedback. But it's art feedback. It's lettering feedback. It's story feedback.
Everything, and they voted on
it. I'm on the site now. It looks really cool.
It is so legit. So The guy who created it, Gabo, why can't I think of his name right now? But he doesn't run it anymore, but he's gone on to do all kinds of cool stuff. A lot of people started there and have now gone to work for like DC, Marvel, done stuff for IDW, like big companies. So I always wanted to join, but I was always too scared. And my uncle, he actually joined before me, and I knew about it years before him. And he had been battling, and he was at, over COVID. He was like, dude, you're not going anymore. You have to draw a comic now. And he had had a character that was battling on there. He was like, make up a character, and we're going to do something. And I was like, okay, let's go. So I submitted an origin story for this character, Rocket Punch Susie. She was this girl who ordered a jetpack online because she's a bike delivery girl. And she had this hover bike, but it's always breaking down. And when she gets her jetpack in the mail, it's a big glove instead. And it has like a list of like warnings, but she just ignores it. And is like, this isn't a jetpack. I'm going to find out who sent me this glove and I'm going to get my money back. And she goes off on a quest. And then that's kind of where the story starts. My uncle, he just like made up a part of the story where the person who she's going to confront at the post office or whatever, there's like a monster there that's killed everybody that's looking for the glove. And my uncle's character is this like 17-year-old kid who can, he has like a giant cockroach exoskeleton inside of his body that he can like mutate into and like fire missiles out of the back. It's pretty crazy. So that was kind of a cool thing where we kind of agreed on what the story was going to be. And we figured out who was going to take the first half, who's going to take the second half. So instead of us each writing a separate story in battle, it was like a two-part sort of thing. But he actually got COVID in the middle of it, was in a coma. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen. Like, I was like, is he even going to make it? Like, I don't know what's going on. And then he had to relearn, after he woke up, he had to relearn like some of his motor skills and stuff.
My goodness.
But he still got his pages done faster than I did, and he had more pages than me.
Well, that's at least.
Yeah.
I didn't know where we were going there for a minute.
Happy end. He basically kicked my ass. I mean, I will say I won in the voting, but I feel like he put in way more work than I did.
He put in way more work.
Yeah, his pages.
That's pretty cool. I could totally see that being a great place for just anybody that wants to draw and write.
It's just incredible.
To get the practice in, right?
Yeah,
and learn to meet a deadline, learn to finish a project, learn to, you know, that seems to be like the title of this show or, you know, this episode is, finish what you started or something like
Seriously.
That. You know, that seems to be the overarching theme of this, right? It's just finish. Like if you learn to finish something, you're already leaps ahead of anybody else.
Yeah.
Right. It's just like this podcast. I mean, this is going to be episode 51 or 52. And
oh,
we started
congrats.
In March, the end of March. And, you know, it's funny because Annika is my daughter's name. She'll come in here and I'll be uploading a video. So we're on YouTube, you know, uploading the video or whatever. And I'll just scroll through and we'll go watch episode one or two, just to how far we've come.
Relive the glory days.
You know, just like 7 months now, you know, that we've been doing this. And you're already like, you know, this whole theme, you know, you're already ahead. We're so much better at episode 50. You know, we're going to do episode 50 tomorrow. Right. And that'll come out tomorrow. You know, her and I, we release it on the same day. Usually this will come out next week. So it'll probably be 51 is my guess. But yeah, I mean, it's huge. We're hitting 50 episodes in six and a half months.
That's wild.
You know, nobody watches them, but it's so much fun. Like, you know, we have probably like our dedicated 10 fans, but you know,
that's how it goes until you hit that peak when people start like going through the back catalog. They like find you and then they're like, okay, let me start with episode one.
And I'm so appreciative of, you know, people like yourself and, you know, everybody else that I've interviewed. You know, this is probably 18 or 19 of the, I call them the conversations episodes. You know, they don't care that I don't really have a following yet or whatever. Like, they enjoy being on, they enjoy the conversation. And that's what I do too. I just enjoy the conversation and we put it out there and maybe one day something will happen. So
yeah. If even like one person listens to it and they're like, that sounds cool. That makes me want to read a comic book or make a comic book.
Exactly. Feel
like we did our jobs.
Or draw a comic or, you know, write a comic. So I have some fun questions, but before that, is there anything that we want to talk about? Like, you have your Kickstarter, we touched on it, you know, it's live now. I'll have links in the show notes, but is there anything that you want to mention or you want to talk about that, you know, we haven't covered yet? I just like to give, you know, the last thing I want is you to be like, dang, I wish you would have asked me this and I could have talked about this. Right. So, you know, is there anything that you want to talk about that I haven't asked about?
Well, I guess I'll just, for people listening, I'll just kind of give you the pitch on what my comic's even about.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Tag and Quest is sort of my love letter to Saturday morning cartoons, Japanese role-playing games, you know, all that kind of good stuff. But it's basically about this kid who sucks at graffiti magic in a world where graffiti magic is used to keep everybody safe. So he lives in this village where the type of graffiti magic they practice is sigil magic, where it's instead of using, you can use a spray can, but mostly markers, and you're writing these intricate symbols. Think of like magic in like Dungeons and Dragons or something. When you see like, when you go through the books and you see like those spell books and it's just nonsense, but more graffiti looking. So he's fine in his sketchbook with the pencil and stuff, but when he has to actually like apply the technique, he sucks. He can't memorize all the sigils, but he just like in his heart knows he's an artist and wants to do something with art that's creative, but he doesn't necessarily know if like the magical side of it is for him. So he wanders into this like temple and finds this old relic. It's these arm wraps that bind to his hands and they kind of amplify his graffiti powers, his magical creative powers. But he shouldn't have these. He is not equipped to have these. He's an idiot. Think of like Naruto, how he's just stubborn and thinks he knows more than he does. He's a typical like 8-year-old kid. So he teams up with these two kids who are actually good at graffiti and smart. They're on a quest to kind of repair these fading graffiti sigils, that are protecting the world from this darkness that's seeping out. So yeah, if you like fun and magic and anime, I don't know, cartoony stuff, I feel like you'll dig it.
Definitely enjoyed the preview and want to read more. So
thank you. Thank you so much.
So obviously right now it's the Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. Are they going to be available later after the Kickstarter?
Yeah. So I haven't even thought that far, but yeah, I'm going to put them online, whatever's left over. And then have some set aside for any cons I do next year. And then I'm going to start immediately working on issue 2 and potentially do a Kickstarter for that one. And once that Kickstarter goes up, I'm toying with the idea of either selling digital copies or just maybe even putting the first issue for free on something like Global Comics or Webtoon, to kind of build hype for that second one when the Kickstarter's up.
Okay.
Yeah. Or I might pitch it to a publisher and just see where it takes me. The big part of why I chose this over some of the other projects I was working on, in my head, I'd always imagined, I grew up going to comic shops and I've always wanted to be able to pick up my own book in a comic shop. But I think the sad truth is comic shops aren't what they used to be and the industry's not what it used to be. But middle grade graphic novels are like huge right now. Like I was even, you know, you go to like a Target and there's like a whole book section of like graphic novels for kids. So that's kind of why I pivoted to this, which is like, if I could put out something that maybe I can get it published, kind of get some kind of residuals from to fund the other passion projects that might not have as widespread of an audience. So that's kind of why I'm leading with this one first.
Awesome. Well, you'll definitely have to, you know, I've talked to a few people that have gotten into publishers and you know, they're like, just look for those ones that are open for submission and just submit.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
You never know. And some of the biggest, I don't know if you've heard of T.S. Luther. Do you follow him?
Mm-mm.
Follow him on TikTok and Instagram and stuff.
Maybe I do and don't know I do. That's funny.
You might. I interviewed him last week. I think it was last week or last week. And the episode's out, but he's got a lot of good TikToks and stuff on how he got published and publishers and, you know, how he writes comics and stuff and submits to them. Like, he was really inspirational and good to follow. So check him out.
Okay. Like that.
He's with, he's gotten published or getting published right now currently through Invader Comics.
Okay.
And, yeah, they're pretty cool. I'm going to have the owner of Invader on, or not. I don't know if it's the owner. It's like the marketing guy from Invader on soon. So that'll be fun.
Very nice.
So watch out for that too.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Comics talk is a force. I didn't know.
It's
a force
awesome.
To be reckoned with.
So much fun, like, talking, and a lot of it's the same people, but it's so much fun to, like, see what they're putting out, and I'm putting stuff out, and they're all very supportive, and it's been, you know, really cool to,
yeah, man, I love
to
it.
See that. And TS was great. I think I went like almost 3 hours with him. It was crazy long. And my daughter actually joined that one. She don't usually join the conversation ones. But she wanted to do that for someday. She was here and she's like, I want to do it. I'm like, okay, sit down in your spot. Nice. It worked out pretty well. But I always wondered, you touched on a second ago, like, you know, the getting published and seeing your stuff. You said pick up your own book in a store, you know, something you wrote in a store.
Yeah.
Made me think about, I always think about, what does a comic creator think of when they see their comic in a dollar box?
Oh my God.
Are they upset, or are they, you know,
that's how you know you've really made it.
You know, have you really made it if your comic's in a dollar box, right?
Yeah, seriously.
Like, come on. I don't know. I just think that's like, I look through the dollar box all the time and I'm like, why is this in a dollar box? This is so cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Same.
But, you know, and on the other note, you were like, you know, comic shops aren't the same. I have a really awesome local comic shop called Yellowbird Comics. I'm in North Carolina, is where I'm at. That's like my retirement, like, dream job, I guess. Not dream job, but if the podcast ever takes off enough to where I can just live off it, I would open a comic shop, and it would just be, I'd have, like, you know, the modern DC Marvel stuff, but I'd have a huge indie section. And everybody I interview, I'd have their books in the store.
Yes.
So that's similar to, like, my comic, right? Like, it's an homage to indie, you know, I have all their covers in there and stuff. I would do the same when I own a store. So I used to own a board game store and a card game store, but I had a few comics, but it wasn't my thing back then. Now it's like, it's all I want to do.
I would totally do that. I talk about that with my fiance. There was actually a building we were looking at, and we were really toying with the idea of getting it. And it got bought up and turned into an ice cream shop, but it would have made the perfect spot. I was like, I could have a little comic shop, but then I can do workshops with kids, and like, I can do like a story writing workshops on Monday, Tuesday, we can do like thumbnail sketches and like walk them through a process of getting their whole comics done and then have them at the shop. Like, that would be so cool.
That would be cool.
Like an interactive kind of community based comic shop. I don't know. If nobody's shopping there all day, I can work on my comics at least and just have
exactly. And I would just have like I'd move my studio in the store, right? I just sit there and record episodes all day.
Yeah.
Stupid TikToks.
That's the dream.
That's the dream. Well, awesome, man. Well, now I got some fun questions for you.
All right.
So, who was your first favorite superhero or comic book character?
Ooh, probably Batman. Through Batman the Animated Series. That was like my first exposure to Batman. And then I remember I got a Batman comic.
What year? Hold on. When did the Animated Series come out?
I was probably in second grade, first grade.
Yeah, we were young when that came out. Yeah.
It was on literally like I went to school like two blocks from my house. So like by the time I opened the door, I could grab the remote, turn it on, and like the intro would be playing. It was timed perfectly. Like that was my religion. And I didn't really know what comics were or that he came from a comic. I thought Batman had been around forever. Like, cause I just grew up with Batman always being a thing.
Right.
And these kids at school, I moved around a lot as a kid. I was at like 13 different schools by the time I was in fourth grade, I think. And when you move around to like different states, there's one constant thing in every new school, and that's recess. Every kid loves recess. Like when the bell goes off, everybody's sprinting towards the door. Except this one school, there was this group of kids that never went outside. And I was just like, are they sick or something? Like what's wrong with these kids that don't want to go play outside? And I was like, why don't you guys go outside? They're like, oh, we have a drawing club, a comic book club. The teacher lets us stay inside and draw. And I was like, can I be in it? And they're like, yeah. So the first recess comes when nobody goes outside, and they've just emptied their backpacks. And these kids brought stacks of comics to school and then their sketchbooks. And they're like, look, I drew Wolverine from this page of X-Men. I'm like, what's X-Men? What are you guys talking about? That was like my exposure to it. And I thought those kids were so cool because they could draw. Nobody else in school could draw. And they could draw stuff that at the time I thought it looked as good as a comic. It probably didn't. If I looked at it now, I'd be like, oh, they couldn't draw. But as a kid, and I was like, I need a comic. I want to buy a comic. And my mom got me a Batman comic. And it scared the crap out of me. It was not for kids. It was not like the animated show.
Right.
I think he was like tracking down a serial killer. There was like dead bodies. And I was just like, this is a lot. There's a lot going on here for my little brain.
That's awesome. That's an awesome story.
Yeah.
So that was the first comic book you read. That was my next question was, do you remember the first comic book you read? So I think you just answered it.
It was Batman. I think before that I like just wanted any comic, and my mom, like, I was like, please just buy me a comic, something. And we were at a place that didn't sell comics. It was like a candy store, I think, but they had a 3D comic. It was a comic book version of the movie Red Heat or something. But it was in 3D with 3D glasses. It was just like a cop comic. I couldn't even read it because it gave me a headache. I had to wear those stupid little like red and blue glasses.
Glasses.
The art wasn't cool. There was no superheroes, but I had a comic. By golly.
A lot of people say, and I forget about it until I started doing these, you know, I used to wait. I couldn't wait to get the Sunday paper. To get the funny sections, you know, to read the little comic strips.
Those, if anything, are my first comics. Peanuts and Calvin and Hobbes, like, molded me as a human.
Those were awesome.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite current series?
Oh my God. Doesn't it sound really bad, especially for me? I used to read comics religiously. I haven't bought a new, like, comic that wasn't by somebody I know or like at a local convention from an indie person in 3 years. I think the last book I was reading was like, I really liked Step by Bloody Step.
From
Image. It was like an all silent book about this giant taking a girl somewhere. He's like protecting her from a baby, and she grows up in his hand, and they like travel across the land. It was a really cool book. And Something is Killing the Children. I started reading that when it first came out. But yeah, I've fallen off of new stuff, like, hard.
That's okay.
All I do now is draw and play Overwatch. That's it.
Overwatch, okay. Yeah. I have a friend that plays a lot of Overwatch. I do not play Overwatch. I am too old and not good at that. I try to play, like, Warzone, and I'm like, I suck at it. I play Baldur's Gate 3, though, and I'm okay at that game.
Nice.
I love that game. Let's see. If you could live in any comic book universe, which one would it be?
Oh, man. Well, that's a big question.
I'm here to ask the tough questions. This ain't for kids. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Oh, man. I love, like, fantasy stuff. When I was a kid, I loved Battle Chasers. That was, like, my jam. Or, like, the whole Wildstorm universe was cool because it was just like edgier Marvel, I guess. But honestly, I think maybe Tag and Quest, my own universe, I think I would live there.
I love that. I have been wait. I think you're the first person that's like, I've been waiting for somebody to say that. Like, I just live in my own universe that I created because it's so cool. Like, that makes total sense.
Yeah. You know? It's just all the things I love. I'm excited for the series to get over that, like, the intro hump of, like,
right.
the pilot.
And you
right?
start exploring a lot to when more.
Because the stuff in here and I can't wait for people to see some how stupid it is, but in a good
exactly.
way.
Exactly. I love that answer. All right. If this is a cliche question, but if you could have any superpower, which would you choose?
Man.
Graffiti artist, obviously.
No. Invisibility. Okay. And then you can do graffiti and not get caught.
Ooh, there you go. I love that. I won't ask you if you're a graffiti artist for real life. We're not going to talk about that.
Not anymore. Those days are done.
Good answer. Good answer. Statue of limitations has expired.
Yeah.
Which comic book character, out of any character, main character, sidekick, any character, would you have as your personal sidekick?
Sidekick? Huh. Oh, okay. I'm going to do Throg, the Thor Frog. He would be my sidekick. Little Thor Frog.
I love that. I have not read a lot of stuff with him, but I have some and I need to catch. So I'm a huge Thor fan, if you can't tell. I have lots of Thor stuff around. I have that Journey into Mystery, number 109.
So awesome.
Which is awesome. Like, it's in so bad shape, but
hey,
just to own a Journey into Mystery, like 20 some issues into like the Thor story is just amazing. Yeah. And then I'm trying to collect the whole Mighty Thor run. I have about 150 of the 375. Trying as I find them. The earliest one I have. So I actually have this, and then behind it, I have 127, which is actually somebody gave me that poster literally like a week after I got this comic, which was funny because it's the same, you know, cover.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
You know, it was Journey into Mystery until 125, and then issue 126 it became the Mighty Thor.
Yeah,
and then that's issue 127.
So
that's pretty cool. Yeah, those are my two, like, I guess oldest books I have, but they're just really fun to have and collect.
Yeah, man, dig into Throg. He's a good one.
Yeah, I have to dig into him some more and read some of his stuff. I've only read like one thing. I have to dig and find it, but
I will say they retconned him years later, and they gave him a tragic backstory where he was a person once, and I Ooh. Hate that. I wish he was just always a frog.
Frog.
It just makes it really goofy.
All right, this is the last one. If your life were a comic book, what would the title be?
Aw, man. That's it. Aw, man.
Aw, man.
That's my life. Aw, man.
Oh, all right. I like that.
Because it could be good or bad. Something good happens. Aw, man. Or something bad happens. Aw, man.
Yeah, you can have, to, depending on the inflection of the aw, man, right? Like, aw,
yeah.
man. Or, aw, man. That was awesome.
Seriously.
I like that. I want to see you. That's your challenge. I'm going to challenge you. I want you to draw letter all man in different inflections.
Yeah. Like to get the mood across.
Yeah. You know, like a happy one, a sad one, you know, there's your homework from the podcast.
Art challenge.
Here, listen to me giving homework now. Yeah. Jeez.
Hashtag all man challenge.
Oh man! Oh, we should start that on TikTok. Yeah. The All Man Challenge.
Do it.
That would be funny. That'd be really funny.
Hashtag we should do All that. Man Challenge. I'm down. Let's go.
All right, we're gonna do that. We will have. So we're gonna link your Kickstarter. We'll put that in the show notes. So go back to Kickstarter. Check it out. Be that unknown person that he doesn't know that backs his Kickstarter.
Please.
read the comic. Hopefully we'll cross paths at a convention. I'm going to do a few next year. I'm going all the way to Michigan on Memorial Day. I plan on stopping in Ohio on the way.
Nice. All right.
I will definitely be there. Hopefully we can time it around your coffee shop visit. But yeah, let us know like when you go to conventions and stuff. Let's share that, and hopefully we'll cross paths and meet at one.
I'm sure we will at some point.
You know, I really appreciate you being on. I think it's been a lot of fun.
And, yeah, thanks for having me. This was really fun.
Issue 2 out, let me know. We'll have you back on.
Heck yeah, man.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
In a world of heroes, villains, and epic stories,
Braha, Anakin, and their ultimate sidekick, Panel Pete, take you on adventures each week.
Showing off their comic book hauls,
fun trivia and games, honest reviews,
and inspiring conversations with the creators and consumers who make it all possible.
Join in on the conversation.
This is Talking Comics.
Trying to start a podcast but feeling stuck? At Aquatio, we help creators make waves with everything you need to bring your voice to life. Hosting, recording, editing, and marketing. Whether you're starting from scratch or just need a little help polishing your sound, we're here to hydropower your creativity. Comment on this video or DM us today and let's dive in.